In Jesus' name, amen. Philippians chapter 4 this morning. Philippians chapter 4. Congratulations, Anita, on winning. Last I saw it was really close, but I guess it's done and over and good. Good. So now that Mark is stepping down from the council, the county commission, I don't know what Anita can do for her. She is an elected official. If you're a Republican, go to her and she'll take care of all your problems. And that'll be good. So it's always good to have somebody in power that you know they can help you. Good. So as of what, Mark, here a couple weeks, you can quit bugging Mark, okay? Because he can't do a thing for you, all right? Some of you have seen the old red truck that I own. Preacher Lassie gave it to me years ago when the church, well, I bought it for a dollar. And I went out to start it. I park it way in the back of our lot just to keep it out of the way and back by my shed and back by my groundhogs. And I've got a family of groundhogs under my shed back there. And it's just a really nice, peaceful place. And I went out and I got it Monday to crank it up. And I turned the key and I cranked it and I cranked it and I cranked it. And it just wouldn't fire. And after I cranked for a while, I opened the door, looked out, and looked underneath, and there was gasoline pouring from underneath the truck, underneath the frame there. And this had happened before, so I knew what had happened. Some varmint, not the groundhogs, because you'll find out in a moment more about that, but had gotten underneath there and chewed holes in my fuel line. And so I got Caleb over there, and we got a chain, and we drug it around to the garage, and dropped the gas tank partially. I didn't take it all the way down because when I was looking at it, I could see the fuel line along the frame of the truck, and I could see where they'd been eating the thing, and I thought, well, there's the problem. So, you know, you got to guard, you got to take off, you drop the tank, you do all this stuff, and I'm getting pretty good at it by this point. And put it all back together. I replaced that part of fuel line I could see, put it all back together, cranked it up there in the garage, and gasoline is all over my garage floor. Oh, no. So I went to bed. The next day, after the afternoon, I got off work, went home, dropped the tank again, and this time I dropped it all the way down. And right on top of the tank, where the tank line goes in the tank, I mean, there was like an inch hole. This bad boy, this varmint, had eaten that fuel line. And so this time, now I've got a brand new fuel line all the way from the gas tank to the fuel filter. Things are good. So yesterday, after I got off work, I buttoned it all up, put it all back together. So exciting. And I crank it up, runs like a top, just purring like a kitten. I mean, old 91 Ford Ranger, just running great. So I thought, well, I'll take the trash to the church. I'll get rid of that out of my garage. And so I got all the way to Suncrest, and it started sputtering. I thought, oh, no. So I get around the corner. It's downhill. I'm doing great. I'm coasting to the church. Get around the corner, I got a problem because it starts going uphill. And it just dies. So I jumped out of the truck, and I've got the door open. I'm pushing the truck up the road. I'm thinking, if I could just make it to the church. And as I'm pushing the truck, I'm singing, peace, peace, wonderful peace. So my next job is to replace a fuel filter, I think. Well, that is the next thing I'm going to do. I figure all that junk probably got in the line and got it anyway. It, by the way, it's parked over here by the old pharmacy if you want to pay tribute to it as you go by. You know, the simple matter, now that's a kind of a silly illustration, but simple matter of fact is life does not always go the way we plan it, does it? It really doesn't. And every person in this room have had times when you've had things occur in your life that were totally unexpected, totally unplanned for, and totally undesirable. Now, one of two things is going to happen in your life. You're either going to have turmoil and worry and stress, and you're going to feel like, or there's a way for a believer to have total peace. Now, the believer's life should not be a life of stress and worry and concern. And just this, what am I going to do? It should be a life of peace. In fact, I want you to know this morning that there is a prescription for peace. God has already told us how to have peace. And I'll be honest with you. It doesn't matter what is happening in your life. If you will follow God's prescription, you can have peace. No matter what. No matter what. And to be honest with you, I have pretty much peace about this deal with the truck. I mean, you know, hey, it's just an old truck and my time is free and I get to work on it some more. It's so exciting. Get some more experience, you know. It's not a big deal. But I wonder, as you look at your life this morning, would you say my life is characterized by stress and worry and concern? Or would you say my life is characterized by peace? By peace. We're in Philippians chapter 4. This was one of our verses, and we've been camping here really for 3 weeks. And we started out by looking at the command not to worry. The command not to worry. In Philippians 4, verse 6, and it says very simply, be careful for what about big things? Cecil's got a heart issue. Surely we can worry about that, right? What about this lady? I just found out she has a brain tumor. You know, the Bible says, be careful for nothing. You say, well, Seaman, it's a stupid old red truck. I mean, who cares? You know, 91 Ford Ranger. Who cares? Well, when you got to carry stuff around, it's really handy. My daughter pulled out in front of somebody years ago and left a big, huge trademark on the side where the guy ran into her, took out your father-in-law's fence over there by the pond. But it still runs most of the time and carries stuff around. But you say, that's no big deal. I mean, what if you have something serious? God still wants you to have peace. So, he says, be careful for nothing. And we looked in Matthew chapter 6 where he says, hey, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to put on. Don't worry about tomorrow because worry is sin. Now, I want to emphasize that again. We have a lot of folks visiting today, folks have not been with us. Worry is sin. If God says not to do it and you do it, then it's sin. Worry is not a faith. Whatsoever is not a faith is sin. And boy, I tell you what, folks, worry will affect you. It'll affect you spiritually, hurt your fellowship with God, hinder your service for God. Worry will hurt you physically. Worry will hurt you socially, and your testimony for Christ, this is all review. So a command not to worry. Last week, we looked at the cure for worry. And we looked at the secular cure for worry. How does the world say deal with worry? Well, really, it can be two words. Medication or meditation. All right? You think about it. You can solve all your problems or take some kind of medication or alcohol or drugs or something, and that's how you solve your problems. And as we talked about last week, the whole thing about that is neither of those solves any problems. It just masks the problems. So what does the Bible say? Well, in general, again, this is a review from last week, says in Matthew 6:34, take no thought for what? The morrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Be concerned about today. Plan for tomorrow. But you need to take care of tomorrow when tomorrow comes. But more specifically, in verse 6, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Here's the key. Let your request be made known unto God. When you become getting worried or concerned about something, what should you do? This is, by the way, this is Christianity 101. Okay? What should you do? Hello? What should, thank you. It's been a long week, hasn't it? You ought to pray. Now, again, as we started this lesson, if you were saying, man, I'm concerned about this, worried about this, let me ask you a question. Have you taken your requests to the Lord? The hymn says, ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? Now, folks, God has given us an answer for our worries and our stress and our concern. God says, you need to pray. Tell God about your problem. We tell everybody under the sun about our problems except the one who can help us, and that's God. It says, let your requests be made known to God. And then we saw specifically in prayer, which is kind of the general term for asking, receiving. Supplication, which is that specific term. When you pray specifically and say, God, here is what I need. Here is my need. Not, Lord, bless me today. Lord, keep me safe today as I travel. Lord, give me wisdom today as I deal with people. Give me wisdom as I deal with my children. You still have children at home. Specific prayer requests. And then this last one, which, to be honest with you, has really spoken to my heart. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. And as we ended our lesson last week, we talked about this aspect of prayer. And let's be honest. When you have a problem as a believer, you probably do the first two. You probably pray. You probably ask the Lord specifically to help you. But do you do the third one? The thanksgiving? Lord, I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you're a great God who can do all things. I thank you that you're a God who knows all things. I thank you for what you've done for me in the past. I thank you for what you're going to do for me in the future. I'll be honest with you. This part of my prayer life is lacking. And I've been working on it this week. Most of the time when we pray, there's no thanksgiving involved at all. And I tell you, as we talked about it last week, when you begin to thank God, it turns into worship. And when you're worshiping the Lord, you're having a right view of God. You're thinking about who God is. And that's when the worry goes away because, hey, he can do anything. He knows all things. He loves me. He cares for me. He can take care of it. Why am I stressed about it? And that's why that thanksgiving is so important. So let me just challenge you. If that is missing in your prayer life, if all your prayer life is, Lord, I need this, 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 you need to ask God to help you to be a thankful person when you pray. Yes? Sure. Yeah. And that's when the worry goes away. Because when I'm stressed, what am I focusing on? The problem. When we ought to be focusing on the person. And when you start focusing on the person, the problem is nothing. Okay? Now that's all review. I spent a little more time there than I intended to. Let's look at the last point this morning. We've seen the command not to worry, the cure for worry. Finally, number three, the cessation. Had to have a C, so that's why I use such a strange word. The cessation of worry, okay? Worry stopping. Worry stopping, okay? Verse 7. Look at, if you do these things, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Look, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I'll give you three things this morning. Number one, as we look at an explanation of peace, I want you to see the producer of this peace. Where does this peace come from? Does it come from the world? Does it come from your willpower? No. Does it come from medication or meditation? None of those things. None of them. Where does true peace always come from? Romans 15:33 says, "Now the God of peace be with you all." Six times God is called in the New Testament, is called the God of peace. In 2 Corinthians 14:33, it says, God is not the author of confusion. That's the part we usually quote when our kids are being crazy and causing confusion. Wait a minute, God's not done this. God's not the author of confusion, but how does it end? But of peace. Peace. God is the author of peace. The right source for peace is God. And then finally, the world tells you, oh, if you'll do this, you'll have peace. If you'll have this kind of insurance, you can have peace. If you do this, if you have this much money in the bank, you can have, has all these things. And you know what the Bible says in Jeremiah 8:11? It says, they say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Look at John 14:27. Flip back a couple pages. John 14:27. John John 14:27. Jesus is trying to comfort the disciples, the apostles, before he goes back to heaven. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." Notice, "Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." What is the world's peace dependent upon?
Absence of war.
Absence of war, okay. What's that? Circumstances? Pride? Okay. On themselves? Okay. That they can handle it? Okay. So, true peace, the producer of peace, comes from one source, comes from God. Secondly, notice in the passage the peculiarity of this peace. This is a unique peace, and we've kind of already touched on that. Because the world says, "Oh, you can have peace." One of my favorite sayings, when people say, "Boy, you're happy today," I say, "Well, ignorance is bliss. And I'm stupid and I'm happy, you know. Don't know any better, so I'm happy, it's great, you know." By the way, can I pause for just a second? I know I've said this before, but believers ought to be the happiest people in the world. We really ought to be, folks. This thing of, "Well, I'm a Christian and it's so hard." Well, try being an unbeliever for a while. You think you got it hard. Try being an unbeliever and see how hard that is. We ought to be the happiest people in the world. We really ought to be. We ought to have joy. We ought to have peace. We ought to have contentment. But the world tries to have peace, tries to give you... Let me ask you a question. In the worldly sense, what would you have to have peace? Money. How much?
Lots.
It's a nice round number. Lots. Okay? 25 million? Would that do it? How about a million? Would a million be enough? A trillion? You'd have to play for the NFL to have that much money. And of course, well, I'm not going to go there. Sorry. Season starting up again. I'm still upset. But at any rate, those poor guys, this America has been so unfair to them. I saw one of them was having to sell his $2.7 million house. I felt so sorry for him. $2.7 million was all I had. And I had to sell it. "Oh, you poor. How are you going to make it?" You shouldn't have got me off on that. I did. Yeah, got to have lots of money. Everything's paid for. No debts in the bank. How about health? You just went to the doctor. You had a PET scan. You had CAT scan. You had any kind of scan you can have. And he said, "You are as healthy as a horse," which I don't quite understand that. I've seen some pretty unhealthy horses. But at any rate, you've got this great report. You got lots of money. Everybody's healthy. Everybody's happy. And that brings peace. But you know, God's peace is not that way. There are people who have all kinds of medical bills, and yet they are at peace. There are people, believers, who have bad medical reports, and yet they have peace. You see, it's peculiar. It's different than the world. Paul prayed in 2 Thessalonians 3:16 for the Thessalonians, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means." God wants you to be at peace all the time. Now, the simple matter of fact is, folks, it's not logical to have peace when you have problems. It's not logical. It is peculiar. It is different. But that's how believers are supposed to be. And when things at work don't work out, or when we get that bad health report, or when the stock market crashes, or whatever, and a believer can say, "Praise God, it's all right." What a testimony. Because the world doesn't have that. This is one, by the way, one of the things you can have that a believer cannot have, an unbeliever cannot have, is the presence of God. You ever thought about that? As a believer, the Holy Spirit of God dwells inside of you. You can fellowship with the Holy Spirit, with God, all day long. Unbeliever can't do that. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit of God puts in your life, according to Galatians 2 or Galatians 5, is what? "For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace." What a coincidence. A spirit-filled believer is a believer who's at peace. No matter what. No matter what. It's peculiar. It is different from the world. So, the producer of peace is God. The peculiarity of peace we've seen. Let's look finally at the protection of peace. Flip back to Philippians chapter 4 if you need to. And it says again, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall do what? Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That word keep is a neat word. It is a compound word, and it is to be around. And the second part of it is to behold or to see. And the idea is, it is actually translated in Scripture in another place. Let's see, in 2 Corinthians 11:22. See if you can figure out what word, same word, see if you can get in this verse. Same Greek word. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desiring to apprehend me. Now, there's two words that may throw you there, but this, Mark's got the right answer. You know what the word is? Same Greek word in the original, in Philippians 4, right here in this passage, the word is garrison. Garrison. To garrison about. Okay? To garrison about. And what he's saying is, believer, if you will do what God says to do, God's peace will be a garrison about you. It will be an army about you to keep you and control you. James, I need your help. Come up here a second. Yes, you. Right this way, please, sir. He's nervous now. I got him shaking. Are you worried? Okay, come up here. James is going to represent worry, okay? Turn around this way. Look worried. That didn't look very worried to me. Okay? Now, I am a believer, and here's worry, here's concern, here's problems. And James, I want you to attack me. There you go. Good, good. Now, what protection do I have against him? That was good, James. That was good. Something you can naturally do. Okay, if your name is Mark, I'd like you to come and help me. If your name is Mark. 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 Is your name Mark? Yeah, come and help me. Mark, yeah, there we go. Yeah. All Marks. All Marks. All right, now, here's worry over here. Now, I've got the marks around me, okay? You're facing out, and I'm in the middle of you, and you're facing out, and you're facing out. Okay. Now, these guys represent peace, okay? The peace that is garrisoned about me. Now, James, try to get me. Ah, and what happens? My garrison of peace. Come around the other way. Maybe this guy's weaker.
Not a chance.
Try the tall guy. See, when I am doing what the Bible says, I am garrisoned about with peace. And what happens to worry? Can't get me. Thank you, man. You did very well. Very well. Good. Go sit down, James. Get away from me. Now, God is able to do that for you. But it only happens as you take prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. You say, Gary, I am consumed with stress and worry and problems. And by the way, when I teach like this, I am never trying to minimize your problems. Okay? Some of you have great problems. I know that. Some of you have been through great problems. I know that. I'm never saying to you, man, your problems are just nothing. That's not the point. The point is, yes, your problems are great, but hallelujah, God is greater. I don't care what your problem is today. Our God, your God, has the ability to either change your problem or to give you the grace to get through the problem. Okay? I'm subtle on that. Okay? That is a conviction in my heart that God has the power, the wisdom, the knowledge, the care, the love to meet your need and to help you. You say, but, well, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. God has the ability to do it, folks. He can give you peace. God, by the way, can I stop for just a minute? One of the names for Jesus in Isaiah 9 is that he is the what? The Prince of Peace. Now, you may be here this morning and you're not a believer. And I'm talking about the peace of God, and what you need is peace with God. Because before we get saved, folks, the Bible says we are at enmity with God. Before you're saved, your sin has separated you from a holy God. I've been reading in Romans in my devotions, and my, what a blessing. Just to camp out and think about justification by faith, all those great truths. And folks, you can have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Because he paid for the sin. He turned away the wrath of God. If you're here this morning and you're not sure of heaven, that's where you need to start. You need to get peace with God. And you can get that through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. You know what? As I stand before God today, I have peace with God. You know why? Because I'm a great guy. No. Many of you know me too well. Because I have Jesus Christ, and I've placed my faith in Christ. And when I did that, he paid for all the sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. All the sin that brought upon the wrath of God on me has been taken away. It has been cleansed. It is gone. When God looks at me, hallelujah, he sees me in the righteousness of Christ. And I have peace with God. If you don't have that today, you can before you leave. You can have peace with God. But believers, you need to have peace, the peace of God. Oh, here's a great verse. Roger, this is your verse. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, who has his bank account full, who has all his bills paid, who has a clean bill of health. Here's the key, folks. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. And how do you get your mind stayed on him? Prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. You see how it all ties together? Isn't it amazing? All the way back in Isaiah. I don't know, 700 B.C. Paul writes 100 A.D. Here we are, 2,000 years apart, and it all just ties right together. The peace of God. Psalm 119, 165 says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Peace. Do you have peace this morning? Number one, do you have the peace with God? Are you sure of heaven? If not, don't leave the grounds today till you get that settled. Number two, do you have the peace of God? You have it? Acts 27 is a great example. Acts 27, the Apostle Paul is on his way to Rome. He's on a ship, and there are 276 people on the ship, and he is a prisoner. He's headed to Rome, and you remember what happens. They run into a storm. One of my favorite words in the Bible, Euroclodon. What a name for a storm. Can you imagine? And this is, you know, wasn't little showers. I mean, it was Euroclodon. And these guys are going down, and they've already thrown out all the stuff off the ship. They've gotten rid of all the freight. They've thrown out all the tackling. They've done everything they can do. They've been fasting. Everything is bad. They're all going to die. It's terrible. There's no help in the storm. It's bad, bad, bad. And God comes to Paul at the night and said, hey, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. He said, everybody on the ship, if they'll stay on the ship, they're all going to be saved. So here in the midst of the storm, Paul goes to these guys and says, hey, guys, be of good cheer. Now, I'm sure they thought he was a nut. What a nutcase. What's wrong with this guy? Be of good cheer. We're all about to die. In the midst of the storm, Paul had peace because of the word of God that came to him. Now, I want to give you one final example. Turn in Psalm 55. Psalm 55, and we'll be done. Psalm 55. King David is writing. And in Psalm 55, look at his problem in verse 3 through 5. Psalm 55, right in the middle of your Bible. Verse 3. He says, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pain within me. The terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And then look in verse 12. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me, that did magnify himself against me. Then would I have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. So here he is, and it was either Saul or maybe Absalom, we're not sure, or even Ahithophel, not sure, but one of David's closest friends had become his enemy, had turned against him, and they're out to get him, and there's turmoil, and there's difficulty, and how did he want to respond? Look in verse 6. Don't you feel this way when you have a problem? And I said, verse 6, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. You ever felt that way? Man, I just want to take off and leave it all behind and not worry about these crazy troubles. But look what he decides to do in verse 16. He says, as for me, I will call upon the doctor, my financial advisors, the psychiatrist, the psychologist. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Look, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. What did David do when he had trouble, folks? He prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed some more. And look at the outcome in verse 18. By the way, the situation had not changed at this point. But verse 18, he hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. He said, God gave me peace. Peace. So, do you have peace? Or do you have turmoil, worry, and concern? Which one do you have? If you don't have peace, folks, God is offering you a supernatural, unique, amazing, incredible, wonderful peace. It can be yours. It can be yours. If you will follow his prescription, if you will pray and supplication and thanksgiving. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. So do some self-inventory this morning. Have you got peace? Now, if your answer is but, do you have peace? You can have it. It's there for the taking. Or there for the receiving, might be a better way to say it. It can be yours. But you have to do it God's way. And if you will, prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall garrison you about. What a wonderful truth. May God help us as believers to be filled with peace. Peace of God. No matter what happens, the peace of God. No matter what comes, the peace of God. Lord, we thank you for these verses. Lord, they were written by a man who had nothing but turmoil, and yet he had peace. Had peace. Lord, I pray for those today here. There may be some who are not your children. They don't have peace with God. Their sins have not been forgiven. They're not sure of heaven. And Lord, I pray that today, as they come to church and listen, that they would not leave this building, these buildings, until they know that they're on their way to heaven and have peace with God. And Lord, for every believer here today, oh God, help us. Help us to use the means that you've provided to have peace in our lives. Not stress and turmoil and chaos, but just peace. And right now, Holy Spirit of God, those that are really struggling, may you just really minister to them and help them to turn to your word and to turn to you and to turn to thanksgiving and prayer and supplication to get peace from heaven, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord bless you, folks. Great to have you this morning. Good.